Good morning, cricket fans, and welcome to the Catch It podcast.
Oh, what a catch!
I'm Andrew Lush, and I started this podcast to have some interesting and insightful conversations about analytics and the stats behind the action, and to develop myself as a presenter. I hope you enjoy our discussions and debates.
That is an absolutely outstanding catch.
Today on the podcast, I'm excited to say we have Ronan Alexander. He's the lead editor of the Scouting Cricket magazine, as well as the lead host on the Scouting Cricket podcast. He has done consultancy roles for Scotland Cricket in the past, and as well is one of the first people I like to drop a message to when anything happens in the world of international or franchise cricket. In our discussion today, we delve into a game changer of Scottish cricket, as well as an up-and-coming young gun, and we finish off with the stat of the pod. Thank you very much, Ronan Alexander, for joining the Catch It podcast. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's been a bit of trying to get all this sorted over the festive period, but we're all sorted now. So yeah, looking forward to getting to it and chatting some Scottish cricket.
Absolutely. It's been a busy period for both me and Ronan, and we've been debating and chatting over who we were going to talk for this podcast for the last month, but we're finally sitting down, albeit on Zoom, but we're going to get going with our two. So we've got our game changer and we've got our young gun, and with this podcast is going to be all about Scottish cricket, and then we're going to chat a bit about where Scottish cricket is going and where basically the sky's the limit for Scottish cricket at the moment. Do you feel that expectation and excitement, and is it a good time to be a Scottish cricket fan?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think obviously the last couple of major tournaments been competing in kind of shown a bit more of what they're capable of, with them obviously qualifying for the Super 12 of the last World Cup in 2021, and then this time round didn't quite make it through but beat the West Indies. So I think we've shown over the last few years that they've got that kind of potential. I think the team are kind of itching to do things like that more regularly, get more opportunities and stuff, and kind of even outside the men's game as well, and the women's game, with them recently announcing that professional contracts will be given to some of the players, which so it should have been done sooner, but it's good that it's getting to that stage now, because the women's team, I think a lot of the players are at a really kind of exciting age. They're all kind of still to maybe hit their peak. A lot of them, they're all kind of, you know, pretty young players, so the best is maybe still yet to come with them. So the fact those players are able to get the opportunity to go professional now and kick on, I think we'll see them improve. And the women's under-19s team are, I think they just flew out yesterday for the under-19s World Cup, so that'll be a great experience for them in South Africa. So yeah, on the pitch at the moment, all things are looking on the up at the moment. So yeah, hopefully that can keep continuing.
Nah, very, very exciting. You have girls like the Bryce sisters, as well as Rachel Slater, performing really good kind of solid structure in that women's team. And we're going to be mainly talking about the men's team today. So I'll dive straight in. So Ronan, who is your game changer for Scottish cricket at the moment? Who have you selected as a key member of the squad who choose regularly changing matches for Scotland?
So there's probably a few that could have made the cut for it, but went with Mark Watt. I think everyone's kind of seen lately what he's kind of capable of, was the kind of frontline spinner for the team, bowling slow left arm orthodox, but sometimes unorthodox with his variations. Favourite of mine being the kind of 24-yarder that he bowls a lot further back, which just kind of catches batters off guard by them just not expecting him to release the ball so early in his run-up. But it's really interesting variation, and someone would maybe see other people copy. I bowl left arm spin as well, so I've copied it.
I was about to say, have you implemented the 24-yard delivery? How has that gone for you in club cricket?
All right, I don't think I've had a wicket from it.
It'll come. That's the thing with that kind of variation. It's interesting to see, because obviously you're putting more time on the ball and you're just kind of putting the batter out of his rhythm, especially when we talk about kind of batters when they're trying to power hit, and power hit spinners trying to put all the pace on the ball. If you have more kind of time in the air, they have more time either potentially to line you up or to kind of overthink the shot and actually top edge it or mistime it and get a wicket. And it's one of the things he's progressed and used for Derbyshire. And do you think he's going to be more kind of going towards the side of using those variations, or more kind of going to traditional kind of Yorkers or kind of
maybe varies. He's talked on the Desert Vipers podcast about varying and creating a leg spin delivery. What do you think is the path that he'll take?
Well, I think he's really clever and he'll probably do everything that you mentioned, because one thing he does a lot in the Scottish team is bowling in all three phases. Mm. So you'll bowl in the power play quite regularly and just look to try and restrict up front and get an early wicket. And then as spinners do in T20s, they'll bowl a lot in the middle, but something that spinners probably don't do as much as a traditional kind of seam bowler is bowling at the death. But just looking at his numbers at the death there since 2019, he's had 19 overs he's bowled at the death, 8 wickets, averaging 21 with an economy of just over 9. So just over 9 at the death is pretty good going. So I think like the Yorkers you mentioned, I think that's something that he does as well. And then just kind of varying his kind of release points at the crease as well, coming a bit wider, coming a bit tighter into the umpire, and then just bowling different lines, but that wide Yorker, and Yorker's kind of in at the stumps as well. So that's something he implements as well. So yeah, just being able to bowl in all three phases probably makes him that kind of game changer with the ball as well. So kind of shows how clever and smart he is, because it's pretty difficult for, you know, finger spinners to kind of do that, I suppose. Kind of it's more your wrist spinners that kind of get a bit more from T20 games especially. But no, he's really clever, and obviously trying to do that leg spin delivery as well will only be good. So looking forward to seeing when that will come out.
No, absolutely. I think it's definitely having that ability to be almost a different type of bowler into those three different phases. And then when you're an analyst of an opposition team looking at that, and it's hard because you can't consistently say he's going to bowl this type of ball in this phase of the game, because he changes it so much and keeps the batters guessing. It's really useful to have that modern day T20 player in Scotland's lineup. And he's just got a new contract with Derbyshire to play all three formats. Will develop his game in different ways, but he's got a contract with Derbyshire, and that'll keep him at the down at Derbyshire for a good couple of years, I reckon.
Yeah, I think he's definitely kicked on since went down there and got that kind of regular bit of cricket last summer, because he's had county stints in the past, I think at Derbyshire before, and then had a kind of shorter stint with Lancashire, where he played in the Blast a few years ago. But last year was his closest he's had to like a full county season. So just bowling that quantity of overs at a higher standard of player more regularly has obviously brought him on a lot. So the Derbyshire stuff, especially all three formats as well, is something that would be really good to play in. So useful to have in, you know, 50 over cricket. You've seen how important he's been for us, him bowling alongside Hamza Tahir as the other left arm spinner, being able to just tie so many teams down, because I think we sit on top of the Cricket World Cup week two in the 50 over stuff, and I think Hamza and Mark Watt have been instrumental in that, kind of the two standout spinners. So yeah, all three formats really good, and then obviously even played a bit of T10 as well, the Northern Warriors. So it shows that he can, you know, go from 4-day cricket with Derbyshire to T10 with the Northern Warriors. So shows how smart he is as a cricketer as well.
A high level of cricket intelligence there. Just taking it back to the World Cup, it was instrumental for Scottish cricket's development to do well at this T20 World Cup. And they just missed out on the last stages. But how important was that performance against the West Indies and Mark Watt's performance against the West Indies?
Yeah, it was really good, kind of set the tone, because I think I'm right in saying we batted first and got up to, you know, I think it was around about a parish total on that pitch. But for Scotland batting first against the West Indies, it was like, oh, that's a solid score. But I think on that pitch, it was maybe around about par. So we knew they had to bowl really well. And with him opening up, got us off to kind of the perfect start, and then just kind of blew the West Indies away. And the whole performance kind of all was absolutely perfect. And I think a lot of Scottish fans kind of thought that's the standard going forward now. And then, you know, losing the next two games is obviously disappointing, albeit against other full member countries as well, in Zimbabwe and Ireland. So it's kind of difficult. I think I saw a lot of debates about it, whether the World Cup was a failure or a success. I don't really know. I kind of see both sides to, obviously that West Indies win's obviously going to be a memorable one, but the other defeats are disappointing. I think it kind of shows how far the team's come, that, you know, losing to two full members and everyone's, you know, quite annoyed by it, but it shows that people care about Scottish cricket. So it's good to see those kind of debates on social media, and around the news and stuff. So I'm sure they'll learn from it and hopefully go one better next time. But yeah, Watt's performance against the West Indies was brilliant. I think the World Cup before as well, I think I remember about every single game, he seemed to get like 4 overs, 1 for 23 in like every game.
Yeah, just unreal economy.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got his stats for the versus the West Indies. Of 4 overs, his economy was 3, which is just ridiculous. And with 3 key wickets in the game as well. So just absolutely tying down. And that ability to bowl in different phases in the power play, if the matchup suits it, or in the kind of middle overs to reduce kind of rotation and build innings. And then that at the death, like it's just, he is a really useful T20 player. Now going on to his development away from Scottish cricket. So Mark Watt has now signed up to play for the Desert Vipers in the UAE T20 league that kicks off on the 15th of Jan. What do you think that will mean for his own development? This is his first kind of, his first significant step into franchise cricket.
Yeah, I think I'm really looking forward to this tournament. There's a lot of kind of big names in it as well. So him being able to go over there and compete in that with a kind of higher standard of player. I'm just looking at this team that he'll be able to learn from as well. You know, the Desert Vipers, they've got Hasaranga in the team. So being able to, you know, just train and speak with someone like that so regularly will only bring him on more. I think they also signed Jake Wintott as well, who's another quite clever spinner. So
late signing, I think.
I think he was a replacement signing for maybe Wamishane, possibly. But just them having a spin attack like that, and him being a part of it, I'm sure only bring him on more. So getting to play with and against the kind of top level players, I'll only see them improving. So it's good to see that George Munsey's over there as well, competing at that tournament, which is good for Scotland as well. But the Desert Vipers as well, as you'll know, they kind of have that partnership with Crick Fizz. So be kind of a lot of analysis stuff that he can work from as well. Because just going back to that West Indies game, I think one of his wickets, I think maybe a new batter comes on strike and then he pulls out this note from his pocket.
Yeah, the classic blew up social media. Yeah. There was a lot of discussion about it. Where do you stand on players having notes and having kind of analysts, obviously, feedback and work that they've done in a written form on the pitch?
No, I think it's clever because I think you'll know yourself from being an analyst that there's so much information that you can give, and you kind of just want, if every player can take away one wee nugget of information that they can use in the game that they didn't know beforehand, and that's really good. But obviously there probably is like 6 or 7 useful nuggets that they could know that can have an influence in the game. But I think even if I was a player in that situation, it's going to be impossible to know them all or remember them all. So just having a wee note down obviously kind of helps and means that you don't need to try and think off the top of your head about, because you've got it there. So it saves you from forgetting something that could be important as well. So yeah, it was really clever to see that. And then I think he pulled out his matchup notes, threw down a 24-yarder and got a wicket. So it just looked so good.
And I think each player to their own, in terms of if this is something that Mark Watt has done his research, worked with an analyst and said, right, this is how I want to play, and then delivers on a plan. Absolutely brilliant. I think it's really innovative, it's really clever, and I think it's personal preference. Obviously, that's how he wants to go about his game, but I think it's a really good use of just remembering data, and obviously it's something that works for him. I don't think it could work for every single player, but I think it's really good, innovative thinking. And one of the exciting things I'm excited to see is that he'll be pairing up with Carl Crowe of Lancashire KKR and the New York Strikers, going on in being one of the kind of really significant T20 spin coaches. He's worked with Narine on developing his new action, and I'll be interested to see how they work. And they've done some discussions on the Desert Vipers podcast about how they will work. And it will be good to see if he comes out of that competition with some new ideas, some new variations maybe, and hopefully a good volume of cricket at that franchise level.
Yeah, he seems to be a player that's always kind of thinking on his feet and trying to do new things to improve, because I think it is difficult as a finger spinner. So you need to do different things and try stuff out. See, like just looking within his team as well, having Benny Howell, who you can class as a spinner, as well, possibly kind of fast spinner or something, I suppose. I don't know. He's kind of in a kind of
medium fast. I put down in my notes, I put medium fast, change ups, and he knows multiple variations. So
yeah, I'm sure I listened to a podcast with him or read an article where he said he has like 57 or something different variations from like release point cutters and stuff. So probably pick up a few from him as well. So I think he's always thinking of new ideas. So being in the same team as Benny Hubble, who's already got all the ideas, is probably the perfect person to learn from. So that could be another quite cool combination as well, to see what comes of it.
Really interesting conversation there. And I think he's going to be brilliant in terms of in that franchise competition, and then hopefully learning some skills, picking up some experience and bring it into his cricket for Derbyshire in the T20 Blast and their other competitions, as well as for Scotland.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're in a good position to qualify for the 50 over World Cup as well. I think there's, well, we seem to be top of some qualifying league, but there's like another qualifying league. I don't think anyone knows how it works, to be honest, but it's hopefully they can.
World cricket does change pretty quickly at the moment with incoming of privatisation with franchises, as well as the boards all working out in the ICC. You do have to keep on top of it quite quickly in terms of qualifications for associate nations and for the kind of smaller, fuller nations like Ireland and Zimbabwe, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, definitely be a game changer, obviously, in the franchise stuff coming up. And then I think for Derbyshire across all three formats, I think the main focus for Scotland will be with the 50 over stuff, trying to qualify for the next 50 over World Cup. So obviously being able to play all three formats is something that he's proven that he can do well in. So hopefully he can continue to kick on.
No, absolutely. Right, we'll move on to our young gun. And who have you got for us for our young gun for Scottish cricket at the moment?
So there's debating between a few again, but I went with Tom McIntosh, who's currently a wicketkeeper batter for Durham. I think he's maybe like 19 at the moment, possibly.
Yeah, so just wrong. Recently
yeah, 19.
Competed in the Under-19 World Cup. So only 2022, I think it was.
Yeah, I think he's played in two Under-19 World Cups, the last two of them. So he's been the kind of key player for Scotland in those competitions. And I think a lot of people around Scottish cricket kind of knew from a young age that he was maybe going to be the kind of next big thing coming through the kind of academy system. So it's good to see that he's now had some opportunities with Durham. I think he got a 50 on his first class debut. And then I'm not sure what happened to a lot of their wicket keepers, because Ned Eckersley wasn't playing. So he managed to get a run in the Royal London Cup as well. So you got 8 games of that and 50 over stuff throughout the summer for Durham, which also be, I think that's a good stepping stone, that tournament to play in. So you got 130 runs across 8 innings. Top score is 36, striking just over 100, but I think he was batting around about 8 or 9 in a lot of it. So I think he has the potential to go higher in order as well. And I think he was called up for the first time to the Scotland senior squad when they played in Namibia recently, playing against them, and I think it was Nepal we played. Yeah, Namibia and Nepal we played in Namibia, but he didn't manage to get a game in any of those 4 matches, with Matthew Cross being the wicketkeeper batter, and I think he's vice captain at the moment as well, so difficult to kind of get.
Kind of hard to unroot him from the gloves then.
Yeah, but I think even McIntosh could even play as a batter, because when he was with Under-19s, it was Charlie Taylor, who's at Sussex. He took the gloves because I think Tom's a really good fielder as well. So he doesn't have to be the wicketkeeper as well. So he could even play as a batter, and obviously you know what you're going to get from in the field as well. So that's another option of a way they can potentially use him. But with like Callum McLeod recently retiring from international cricket, that's obviously opened up a spot in the middle order. So I think McIntosh is probably the main young player that will be looking to kind of nail down that spot to bat in there around about number 5 possibly at the moment. So be interesting to see how he develops at Durham next summer, because obviously you got some good opportunities this year, but they signed Ollie Robinson from Kent, who's really highly rated and just been named in the England Lions squad, I think, earlier this morning. So that shows how highly he's thought of there. So he's going to be difficult to get out of the team if Robinson's there. For all 3 formats. I think he was just there for the Blast last year. So yeah, I think he's got an exciting future ahead of him, and being only 19, plenty of time for him to kick on. But I think he seems like a real level-headed cricketer. So yeah, just looking to see how he develops, and I think he can force his way into the team very soon.
No, absolutely. It'll be good to see how he progresses. I was looking over his World Cup stats, and he kind of, if he's playing at the moment for Durham in that 50 over comp in the Royal London, and he's been batting for Scotland in the under 19s at 3 or 4, he'll be really wanting to push up to that, maybe into that 6-7 role or into that middle order.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's maybe a spot at 7 at the moment as well. I think Chris Greaves was kind of in and out of the team in the last kind of set of ODIs, so there's maybe a spot in there opening up, because I think Scotland kind of have the luxury of a lot of the batters can give you some part-time overs, so okay, you can probably get away with specialist batter down at 7, because you'll have your frontline bowlers. I think probably Sharif, Chris Soule as the seamers, when obviously Brad Wheel and Josh Gary aren't there, and then you have Hamza and Mark Watt, and it's usually Michael Wiesk who'll be the main frontline fifth bowler.
Okay,
but then Chris McBride has bowled a bit. Kutzer's turned his arm over a few times. Brandon McMullen, who's came into the team lately, he's been opening the bowling. So they're never going to be stuck of options with a ball. So you can probably get away with having McIntosh even down at 7 as well. So,
and you can get away with having two specialist wicket keepers in your team, because obviously with his fielding, and he can actually contribute with the bat as well at that 7 role.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of shows that he's kind of quite versatile, that he's, batted up top 3 coming through the youth kind of system, batting around number 8, 9 with Durham, but he could probably easily settle in at number 7. So gives the selectors at Scotland and the coach, a lot to kind of think about. It gives them plenty of options, which is a good thing. So
yeah, it's never a bad thing as a selector or kind of a head coach to have too many options, but it's just working out how that team's going to gel together, and especially in the associate level when there's so much other kind of noise around the franchise level in terms of some of your players like Mark Watt. It's managing those players, and it's definitely about, surely from your perspective, would you like players more often going down and seeking their cricket out in England, or would you rather see them staying in very much in Scottish cricket and kind of developing from that standpoint?
I think at the moment it's probably good to see them going down south and playing county stuff, because I think that is the next kind of step up. Obviously from a Scottish cricket point of view, though, I just don't think they have the budget for it, but I really think they can do a lot with the kind of regional pro series that they have. So it's the Eastern Knights, Western Warriors and Caledonian Highlanders. I think the women's one's slightly different. They've got the Stormers that play in that as well. I think it's Highlanders and Stormers. I could be wrong. I think there's a lot of potential to do something with that as well. I did speak to someone about what the chances have been of, playing a cross kind of pro series, because Ireland have the Leinster Lightning, Munster Red, and the other team that escapes me. I can't think off the top of my head, but I think they have 3 or 4 pro teams as well. So getting to play against them in a competition, would be really good, but I just don't think there's the budget there for it. But I think it's something that has a lot of potential, the Scottish kind of pro series as well. So I went and watched both of the, there was 2 days of the T20s just at the back end of the summer there. So went and watched both of those. It was, a good standard of cricket, what players, international players on show, and then some kind of lesser known players that I hadn't heard of before that played and did well. So yeah, it has a lot of potential, the regional series. I just don't know if they have the budget to kind of get the best out of it. Which is a shame, because it's something that looks really good, but we'll see how that progresses. I think obviously COVID had an impact on it lately, so hopefully next summer they can get a kind of full round robin, everyone playing each other 2 or 3 times in T20s and 50 over, and I think it'll give players opportunities who are kind of knocking on the door of the ODI and the T20 team kind of chance to kind of kick on and get.
So is the, for a young Scottish cricketer, is the kind of the pathway play really good club cricket, hopefully get selected for that pro series, and then play Scotland, and then you're hoping to, at that point, to balance out Scottish cricket with maybe a more permanent gig in English county?
Yeah, pretty much nailed it on the head. The only other thing in between, like from the regional series in Scotland, is some players will play Scotland A, just like the England Lions, it's another kind of stepping stone in between as well. So they play some kind of friendlies against counties throughout the summer. I'd like to see them play more, because whenever we seem to play, they seem to win and do well. I think they've done really well against Gloucestershire this summer. Some young players got some runs at that level. So I think just having those games more often would be really good and benefit them a lot. I do remember one game maybe a couple of years ago where they played Durham in a 50-over game, and I'm sure they scored like 400 and Munsey got like 180 or something. And it wasn't like a Durham Twos attack either. Like Chris Rushworth and stuff were playing. It was a good team and they absolutely smashed them. So just getting more opportunities like that as well.
Those kind of games are the games that will then show off young Scottish talent. And if they're breakthrough talent, that could maybe push on at a kind of county level. That's the kind of game where they'll be seen and maybe selected in terms of a young kind of county second 11 or in just development county stage.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's shown kind of another... It's not like how Scotland have obviously played a few kind of A-team games against counties, but a team who's been kind of more regular playing the county second 11 stuff is the South Asian Cricket Academy. So Andrew Amid, who's Scottish, I think he's been capped. He's not played for a while, but he came through at Warwickshire. And then he was at the South Asian Cricket Academy playing two stuff in the summer just gone. And he did really well for them, made runs. And then he got a gig with Somerset and he was playing Red Ball and the Royal London Cup. He took his opportunity from second 11 with the South Asian Cricket Academy and got himself a county deal. So I think the same would happen if Scotland played in that more regularly. Players would get things from it. So hopefully that's something we can see a bit more of in the future.
No, we've kind of strayed from our conversation on Tom McIntosh, but it's great to see that there is a pathway for young cricketers to come through and develop their skills. And now with that kind of a bit of frustration at not getting through to the next stage of the T20 World Cup, it's exciting to see that there's that desire to go on and do better and not just settle for kind of the first stages of the tournament. No, we can do better than this, and we're going to work on progressing our young players and progressing our first team to really compete at that world-class level.
Yeah, definitely. I think kind of after qualifying for it once in the 2021 T20 World Cup, I think kind of gave the players and kind of fan base the hunger that this is what we should be doing regularly. We're clearly good enough. We can clearly compete with these teams. So to fall short the last time was a bit disappointing, but they really weren't far away at all. So I think, going forward, the same will happen. I think similar for the women's team as well. It's just a shame that the World Cup, that they had qualifiers for just at the back end of the summer there. Yeah. September, October time, the qualifiers were. But the Women's World Cup, I think it's only 10 teams, which is a real shame, because in that qualifying tournament, you had Bangladesh, Ireland, Scotland, Zimbabwe. I'm sure I saw a stat or like a tweet. Someone said this will be not the right order, but it was like UAE beat Papua New Guinea, Papua New Guinea beat Scotland, Scotland beat Ireland, Ireland beat Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe beat Bangladesh, Bangladesh beat India, India beat Pakistan.
Yeah.
So everyone can beat anyone in the women's game. So it's just a real shame that the World Cup's been restricted to 10 teams, because I think probably 6 out of the 8 teams in that kind of qualifying competition were all just as good as each other. I think probably Bangladesh and Ireland, who qualified, were probably the two best teams, probably just a wee step ahead of everyone else. But the likes of Scotland, Zimbabwe, Taiwan, they can easily beat full member teams in the women's game. So it's just disappointing that it's restricted to such a kind of low number of teams in the tournament. But if that's to expand in the future, then it can only be a good thing, because I think the women's game at that level will be, really competitive.
That's very interesting. So potentially a lot of development for women's cricket in Scotland, which is really great to see. So Tom McIntosh, a young gun looking to develop his skills in that middle order, and a really good wicketkeeper, as well as hopefully pushing for more Durham first team cricket. Really exciting. Now we're going to talk a bit more generally about Scottish cricket and how we can see it potentially progressing and developing. We've already talked about the Pro League as well as the development for women's cricket in Scotland. Now, I saw an article written by Tim Wigmore about Scottish cricket maybe getting involved in the T20 Blast. Would that be something you'd be interested in seeing for Scottish cricket?
I think definitely. I think the players would have an appetite to play in that competition. And I think there'd be interest as well, just to help the kind of development, the team as a whole, getting to play that, you know, higher standard more regularly. I think they'd do okay in it as well. I don't think they'd win the competition, but I think they'd certainly, you know, give a few counties a scare and, you know, pick up a few wins along the way with the team. I think, I don't know if it would have the, if Scotland, if they were to enter a team, it would have to be the national team, or if they'd get the same opportunity as the counties and even have the chance to get a couple overseas players into playing that competition. I know in the past they played in the CB40 and whatever it all used to be called before that, the
Wild Providence as well,
the Over Cup, and yeah. So I think it's had a few names, but I remember they played in that in between around about 2007 to 2013, 2014 or something. They played in that competition roughly. I remember going to a few games against Notts, Warwickshire, and Durham as well. Mm. They did have overseas in that tournament when they played in it. So it'd be cool to see what happened if they got in, because they could, you know, really bolster the team. But at the same time, you don't want to restrict your own players' development, I guess. So that'd be an interesting. But yeah, I think it's something that has a lot of potential and would be pretty interesting to see. So yeah, it'd be pretty cool if it was to happen.
No, 100%. I think that would be an interesting development. Hasn't happened this season, but in terms of when you look at the development of the Royal London Cup and see if there's potential for a Scottish team in that. It's happened in the past, and I think it would be really interesting and good for Scottish cricket's development, as well as just the standard of that competition. Potentially, a Scottish team could raise that with imports from overseas players. It's been a really interesting debate, Ronan, about all things Scotland and all things Scottish cricket. I'm personally very optimistic about where Scottish cricket is going. How do you feel Scotland cricket is placed at the moment, and how do you feel their chances will be in the next couple of international white ball competitions?
Yeah, I think those will be the main priorities at the moment, just making sure they qualify for those tournaments. So the 50 over World Cup, I think, as I said, I would play in like some other kind of mini qualification thing. I think it will be against the teams who were down towards the bottom of the ODI Super League. So I think maybe like Zimbabwe and the Netherlands will be involved in it. I can't remember off the top of my head how many teams get through to the World Cup from that, but have that to look forward to in the near future. And then further afield, the next T20 World Cup. Obviously, we didn't make it to the Super 12s this time, so we'll have to play in a qualifier, which I think Holland and Ireland are in. I could be wrong. I think they're both in it, and only two get through from the European section. So either us, Ireland, or the Netherlands will potentially have to miss out. So that'll be another, you know, tough qualifying campaign to come through. But those will be the main things, is just get into those major tournaments in the first place, and then from there, hopefully the team can kick on. And kind of same for the women as well, under 19s. Having their World Cup later this month, and then the senior women's team going forward, hopefully just, you know, getting more games, more opportunities, and with them being professionalised now, hopefully some of those players can, you know, do similar to, as we spoke about with the men, you know, a lot of the female players have also went down south and flourished, so hopefully we'll see more of them being able to do that too. So yeah, I think try and always look on the positive side of things, or even if there is a negative, try and, you know, spin it into a way with what the team can do to improve. Because I think from myself as a fan, just kind of want the best for all the teams competing. So hopefully we'll see them to continue to improve going forward and have some exciting things coming up.
No, exactly. I think there's an exciting future for Scottish cricket, and hopefully it can develop in a really, really positive way. Now, the last segment of our podcast today is the Stat of the Pod. Now, this comes from Southern Vipers and Southern Braves analyst Millie Roster. And it is the fact that every team that Charlotte Edwards has coached in the last 8 competitions since 2020 has reached the knockout position in those competitions. Now, that doesn't even involve her involvement with the Adelaide Strikers when she was the assistant coach when they reached the finals in 2021. A great player transitioning to a great coach. don't you think, Ronan?
Yeah, it's a pretty remarkable record to
get it's to not the bad.
You know, every tournament, you can't really complain with that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how she continues to do in the next kind of coaching segment she has coming up, because sure, that's a record she want to keep going, and we'll get her to bigger and better things, I'm sure.
No, absolutely. I think she's taken that Sydney Sixers side and progressed them into a really aggressive outfit. And I think if she continues that role as the head coach there, there'll be some really interesting WBBL performances from that squad. Just leaves me to say thank you very much, Ronan, for coming on the podcast and discussing Scottish cricket.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. It's been good to be on and chat things through. So yeah, thanks again for having me. I've enjoyed it.
A really insightful conversation there for me with Ronan Alexander. Well, I hope everyone has enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time on the Catch It podcast.